I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
There's never been a faster or easier way to start your weight loss journey than with PlushCare. PlushCare accepts most insurance plans and gives you online access to board-certified physicians who can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Take charge of your health and speak with a board-certified physician about a weight loss plan that's right for you. Get started today at plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss. plushcare.com/weightloss.
And then literally you just place out your 6 prize cards. So like if they're running like a Maraidon, like literally you just drop damage on 3 Pokemon. As soon as you hit the 10, switch in Sableye, boom, 30-30-30-30.
That's so nasty, game. Dude.
Because it does, because it does 120, so that's 30 times 4.
Yeah.
So there was one game I played against one of the battle deck Maraidons, and they had the Regieleki.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
They had 2 Regielekis on there, like the VMAX.
Mm-hmm.
I hit both of them and the Flaffy just to be fun.
Oh my god.
So technically it told me I had to take 7 prizes.
Oh what? My god. Dude, you're trolling, man.
We interrupt this program to bring you a special bulletin.
You're listening to BTW.
I'm Wildcat Dad 17.
You're listening to BTW.
Good luck and get good.
You're listening to BTW.
I am Dino.
Good luck and get good.
You're listening to BTW.
And we're going to drop some PvP knowledge.
I'm AstroZombie954.
And we're going to drop some PvP knowledge.
You're listening to BTW.
Good luck and get good.
You're listening to BTW.
And we're going to drop some PvP knowledge
on all you suckers.
I want to make it work really bad. Like, I want to, like, get it, like, to where I can run it, because it is such a troll deck.
Yeah. You should show back up to that challenge site and just be like, if you thought Roaring Moon was a troll deck, just boy, do you have something in store
because
for you.
Because seriously, you don't take prize cards.
Yeah.
Because the only other attacker besides Sableye is Cramorant. Mm-hmm. You're not attacking with Serena. You're just dropping damage.
And you're using the panic mask so that they can't attack you.
So they can't attack you.
And they're like burning through their like bosses and counter catchers.
Yep. So they burn through all that. And then when you put Sableye out, you throw a panic mask on Sableye. And then they can't do nothing to Sableye.
Such a troll. Goddamn.
See, this is how you know this is like a TCG podcast, is we're all holding cards.
No, I'm literally sleeving up energy cards.
Yeah.
So that I have like, a new, because I was.
Oh, Chris, I got this. Ones. Do you have this color? I got this one.
The Valor? Is that like the ivory? Like,
yeah, it's kind of like, it looked like more like a eggshell type of color. I mean, I don't know if you can tell.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's the dual mat?
Yeah.
Ah. I saw the these new ones. They're called Aurora. Mm-hmm. It's like a seafoam green type. It's like the new color.
They like voted on that color, right?
Yeah, it was like a player's choice color. It looks so pretty.
Yeah.
I'm gonna have to buy them.
There you go.
So. But yeah.
No, how often are you re-sleeving? Because you're playing quite often.
Yeah, I'm kind of curious about that.
I probably re-sleeve like twice a month.
Okay.
Like what? Like if I use like Lugia, like I was using it a lot. So within like a month of play, like I re-sleeved it like the original time and then probably one more time. Just like when I saw like bends in like corners or something like that, or you know.
How often would you say like a month? Like I'll give you an example. So like this month, it's basically the end of the month of November. So how many times have you played in a tournament this month of November?
Hold on, because
I'm kind of trying to get an idea of like how many like usage like of that those sleeves you got to use. Like if it was like twice and then like, oh shit, like that's expensive, right? But if you got to use it like more than like eight times or maybe six.
I had to make a calendar.
TCG calendar.
A TCG calendar to share with the missus. Yeah. So that she knew where everything was and when everything was, because there's so many. Let's see. 1, 2, 3.
Because I think it goes like 5, 3.
6, 7, 9. Besides my regular Thursday nights, 9. Between cups and challenges.
9? I mean, that's... Yeah. So, you would say you've gone to 9, but you really use the same deck, right?
No, I used... Until this last one when Roaring Moon came out. I used Lugia pretty much the entire time, and then I tried one time with my Lost Zone and failed miserably. not my new Lost Zone, but just like the regular one with Dragonite. And then went back to Lugia.
Is the Lost Zone with Dragonite still common? Because I barely see a Dragonite with the Lost Zone now.
Lost Box Giratina is the preferred Lost Box right now. Actually, right now, between that and they're calling it the Tord Box.
The what box?
That was crazy.
The Tord Lost Box build that he played in Poland this past weekend. I think he came in like fourth place with it.
He came in fifth.
Fifth? Mm-hmm. Yeah. It's got Palkia, it's got Roaring Moon, it's got Iron Hands. It only runs Colress, is its only supporter. Everything else is like switches and things like that, which is where I got the idea for my deck. Was I basically took his, I imported it in TCG Live, took out everything that wasn't like the Serena. To add like the Serenas, to add the Panic Masks and Rare Candy, those kind of things. But it's funny because everyone so when I get up, I get ready, because I'm working at home now. Like my office is like set up in the garage. So I get up, I get ready, eat breakfast, and then I go out to the garage and I have my like computer and everything set up there. And I just turn on Twitch and Andrew Mahone start streaming at like 9:30 in the morning.
Yeah.
And he streams for like almost 8 hours.
Dude, I'm shocked by how long these guys are streaming for.
Well, I mean, it's their job.
Yeah, I know. I mean, that makes sense.
Yeah. So I'll watch him until he's done, and then I'll flip over to Azul and watch his stream for like the rest of the until I'm like done working. And since this past weekend, every stream of Azul's, because Azul was known as like the Lost Box guy, like his group kind of like started the Lost Box Kyogre.
Oh,
like
okay.
They were the ones who like really like pioneered it and like were playing it like heavy duty and winning. So anything that gets done with Lost Box, everyone asks Azul if he's going to be doing it. And finally today, after like the 15th time of someone asking him if he's played or is going to play the Tord box, he was like, I don't know, man. Maybe I will, maybe I won't. But it's not what I'm playing right now, so stop asking.
Was he, like, genuinely, like, annoyed? Like,
dude, if you go onto his stream and you see some of the, like, and you look at the chat, I'm surprised Homeboy doesn't lose his shit more regularly. Like, with the trolls and, like, the constant repetitive questions of the exact same thing that he just talked about, like, 5 minutes ago.
I was just gonna say, do you think TCG is definitely like the most, like, I'm not trying to, like, obviously we enjoyed TCG, but like, do they have like the most toxic community out of like out of all the other ones?
I mean, I don't know if it's toxic, because I think it depends on the streamer. Like, if you watch Andrew's stream, especially since it's like more in the middle of the day, it's a lot more people like our age watching it. So like, you could tell when school gets out, if like the trolls like come in, like everyone's just kind of like shuts it down real quick. Or he'll ignore it. But I think it was it yesterday? Yeah, yesterday Azul didn't have any moderators.
Oh, chat. No.
And it just was like, once, because this one guy just kept asking the same question over and over and over and over and over. Like, he asked it like 6 times. And Azul, it was like one of those, what do you think about this in this deck? And he's like, stop asking me those questions. Like, stop. Just stop. And he just kept asking. And finally, he's like, someone, can one of my moderators put him on timeout? And like 2 minutes went by and he's still asking. And he's like, oh shit, I don't have any mods. I don't have any moderators. Damn. And then it just like blew up. Then people were just like trolling him, like, just to be funny. But yeah, but back to the like the whole Tord box thing. Today Andrew was playing it on his stream.
Mm-hmm.
Like, pretty much his whole stream. And Tord actually joined the chat.
Oh.
Yeah. And was like kind of like talk, you know, slow. He was like not really like, you could tell he wasn't trying to step on toes.
Yeah.
You know? So he was like very like polite, like very, very spaced apart, like, you know, responses and stuff like that. And his one message was just, I don't understand why people think this deck is good. Oh, he's like, it's not that serious. He's like, it worked because of the surprise factor. He's like, I don't know how long this is gonna work.
Right.
He's, that's crazy. You know, but it's true. Like, when you look at the deck, so it's your typical Lost Zone as far as like the Comfies, one Sableye, Cramorant, Greninja. And then it's got Kyogre, which is pretty standard, you know, your Mirage Gates, Battle VIPs. Like, if you look at like everything except the like energy, the rest of the Pokemon, and then just the fact that he's running 3 Pokegear and no other supporters besides Chorus Experiment, it's pretty standard. And then he added Roaring Moon, Iron Hands, and then Origin Form Palkia V and V-Star. And like, watching the, did you watch any of it?
Yeah.
I did. That dude, that match was just like, the way he came back and won that one game was just like, what? Because it's always scary to watch anyone running Kyogre, because it's such a mind like stressing deck, because you have to get your energy, like the exact amount of energy in your discard pile, hold on to your energy recycler, make sure you have enough energy to Mirage Gate onto Kyogre, because Kyogre, I think, needs like
it's four, three energy for
three
Aqua
energy
Storm.
For the Aqua Storm, and two of them are water. So you've got to get three energy onto him, and you've got to get five energy into your deck to pull out to do the 250 on the two bench Pokemon or on the two Pokemon. So you literally have to draw down to zero on your last turn. Roll Damn. The energy recycler to put the five energy in, and then play the Aqua Storm. You mess up one time and you deck out.
I have a question about decking out. So with that strategy, when you have to, like, you're trying to get your deck down, like, as low as possible to make the Kyogre move, like, mm-hmm. effective, what happens if you're, like, doing, like, concealed cards or, like, using your Comfies, and you draw, like, you have, like, one card, but the one card left in your deck, but it's telling you have to draw two. Do you deck out and lose, or does No. decking out only mean when you, like, half your drawing phase on your the start of your turn?
The initial draw at the start of your turn, if you can't draw a card, then it's a deck out.
Okay.
If you are out of, like, if you draw your last card, you have zero cards in your hand, obviously you can't you can't use Comfy or anything like that. But let's say you had two cards, you draw one, and it wasn't the recycler, and you know the last card is the recycler. You do the, you know, you run Comfy and you just do the flower selecting and grab the one card. You don't have okay. to put anything in the lost zone, because it's keep one, put one in the lost zone. You only have one card, so you're good.
Got you. Okay.
Yep. And then you just roll it into what's it called? Then you roll the energy recycler in. And just cross your fingers. But it's like serious, like it's so much setup, because you have to set up Sableye to drop damage on anything that 250 isn't going to knock out. So that when you drop the 250, it knocks those things out.
Mm.
So like if you're trying to knock out like a EX that's like 300, you've got to get it like... You've got to get at least like 60 damage onto it, you know? So it's too stressful, man. Like I watch it, like I've watched people play it, and I'm just like, I can't, like I get anxiety, like just watching them play it. But, yeah. So there was two, what was it? It was, I'm not even going to try.
Gdansk is the Poland one. And then Brisbane for Australia. Yep.
The Brisbane didn't have any coverage because it was the same weekend as like the exact same days as the Poland one, and the sizes of the two tournaments were like complete, like Brisbane only had 388 players where Gdansk had 997.
Yeah.
Yeah, so, I mean, the Pokemon company is going to be like, hey, there's more people at this tournament, so more people are going to be watching this tournament. I don't think it has anything to do with the fact that it was in Australia. It's probably just straight because the other one was bigger.
So, I mean, they basically done that with other regionals. There's been regionals where there's been twice in the weekend. This is not the first time.
Oh, yeah. I mean, if you're, like, in, like... What is it? The APAC region? Or like we're because I know they have them in like what, like Thailand or India or something like that in that area. Like those don't get any coverages.
Yeah, those are on like their own circuit, right?
I think, yeah. Like anything like
it's like the championship series or whatever.
Yeah, anything like that doesn't get any coverage. But I mean, like I'm looking at, let's see what do we have here from Brisbane. The number one, the winner of it was Harry Shalcrass. Sure. From New Zealand with Gardevoir. The runner-up was Haru Nishikawa.
Nishikawa.
From Japan, running Charizard. And then it looks like we got Charizard in third, Mew in fourth, a Fusion Mew in fourth, Gardevoir fifth, two Snorlax stall decks, six and seven, and then another Gardevoir in eight. I'm trying to see if there's anything like crazy about these builds. That would be... Oh, there is. There is something crazy. But I don't want to talk about it right now because we didn't talk about Brisbane and... Or the... Not Brisbane. Whatever. Yeah. Because it's kind of like a mirror of what happened in Poland versus what happened in Australia.
Okay.
So if you didn't watch Australia, or not Australia, the Poland one, Snorlax Stahl came in, and did you see this dude's record?
No.
Hold on, let me see if I could pull it up. I gotta find out.
It's literally, yeah, they literally call that Snorlax Stahl. That's fucking insane.
Yeah. I gotta pull him up on PokéStats.
His record for the tournament, or just like his career record?
No, well, his career record was like, I think when they were showing it, when I was looking at it, it was like fairly mid until like this. Like, this is where he like blew up. Okay, so he went 14-2-2. His only two losses, one was to Maridon, and one was to Mew, I'm assuming, because there's no... they don't show me what kind of Mew it was Mew. And so Mew and one Maridon. His ties were Palkia, the Palkia deck that like got super popular now, and another Mew. He went through, hold on, I gotta move this ad, of course, it's like blocking it. Okay, Gardevoir, Lugia, Charizard, Rapid Strike, Roaring Moon, Charizard, Mew, Maridon, Charizard, Mew, Maridon, Rapid Strike, Palkia, Charizard.
Oh my god.
Like, that was not an easy, like, it wasn't like he was like going up against, granted, he didn't hit a single loss zone, especially loss zone Giratina. And it's funny, if you watch the interview at the end, when they asked him like what his strategy was, it was like, don't try not to hit loss box Giratina. Like, that was his strategy. But yeah, it was an interesting, Dino, did you get to like go back and watch that match?
No, I didn't, but it sounds very cringe.
It was priceless, man. Like, I feel really bad for the second place, guy. Was it, Aaron?
Aaron. Yeah. Aaron Kingma.
He played Zard, right?
Yeah, playing Charizard. And this is the problem, and it's kind of the problem that I've always had with the Charizard decks. Excuse me. Is the deck only runs one switch card.
His one only had a Yale. He had one escape rope.
And most only run like one escape rope or maybe two escape ropes.
Mm-hmm.
But like the fact that like if you look at a lot of these decks minus Lost Box, a lot of these newer decks don't play a lot of switch cards. So this was like perfect for Snorlax. And the thing like I keep hearing is, no one respected it, so no one teched for it.
Yeah.
because no one thought it was like a legit deck. And you just ran through, like, ran through.
The dude's crying in his 10 grand.
Yeah. Like,
bro.
But so the first round, like the first match went about like 30 minutes, and they have 75 minutes to do three in the finals. Lucas wins, or Hukas? I forget how they said it. Wukas. Something like that.
Forgive us if we're getting your name wrong.
If you listen to our show and you
yes.
It was a lot of draw pass from the Charizard player.
Damn.
Because you can't retreat, and the way that the Snorlax deck works is it locks in a Pokemon that has a very large retreat cost. So, like, you don't play Radiant Charizard, and if you do, it's the only Pokemon you play.
Mm-hmm. Because of the Mimikyu, right? Like,
yeah, because Mimikyu is in there to stop the EXs, all that stuff. And honestly, the deck doesn't have an attacker. It has Crabominable, but I don't think it does any damage. No, it's just to speed up the deck out, because it only runs one water energy, so you're not even trying to use the attack. So you're not going to get knocked out. Like, the deck does not take prize cards at all.
Yeah.
So when, like, it just was unfortunate that first game he couldn't get that Radiant Charizard into the active to start knocking things out.
So correct me if I'm wrong, because when I was watching it, like, knowing that it was a Snorlax stall deck, it almost seemed like the Charizard player's goal was, okay, this guy's drawing a lot of cards, I'm just going to keep passing and let him, like, just deck out. And then he scooped when he realized that he had, like, the infinite recycle loop going. Then he's like, okay, well, I can't win now. Scoop. Let's start the next one. But exactly. Is that, like, an accurate assessment?
No, that's exactly what he was doing. Once he realized that he couldn't get his Radiant Charizard into the active to try and get energy onto it, he just said, okay, well, I'm just going to draw one card. You're going to keep turning through your deck because you want to keep trying to get things out of my deck. So I'm going to let you play your game, and I'm just going to draw a card and pass.
Mm-hmm.
So I've got 40 something, turns before you deck out. You know, so that's exactly what happened. But then once he saw the whole Silene team yell, whatever cycle that just kept going, that's when he was just like, okay, let's scoop and go to the next one. Yeah. And then I think he opened Manaphy.
Yeah.
And at that point, he, like, second turn just scooped and was like, that's it. He knew it was done. It's funny. People were upset that he did that.
Really? And not play it out?
Yeah. But, like, the streamers, like, that I watch, or, like, the few people, like, I watch YouTube videos or whatever, was like, there was nothing wrong with him scooping that second game. There was nothing wrong with it. He played his first turn. He got Manaphy in the active. His second turn, he drew. He couldn't do anything to get it. He couldn't get anything out, and he wasn't going to sit through another 30-minute game to lose. He already knew he lost.
Mm-hmm.
So there was no reason for him to continue on. So, I mean, honestly, if I was the Charizard player and I saw that I was playing Snorlax, I would have just been like, give me my second place money and let me dip.
Yeah, I think, like, the rationale I was coming up with why he just scooped the second one is because he wasn't playing, like, a Penny or a Professor Turtle's experiment. So, like, the Manaphy on his bench was just detrimental because it just, it's going to just get like bossed up or like brought up and then just locked on Snorlax, and he has nothing he can do. Nothing he can maybe can like one turn swap, you know, with his escape rope, but then he's just going to have it be brought right back up.
Yeah.
I think that's why I like that professor. What is it? Professor
Turo.
Yeah. I like that card in the deck that I'm using in TCG Live.
Yeah.
Like, it's helped me so much. Like, I used it. I think who was it, you or somebody said that they used it and then they got mad. Oh no. Was it something with you? Maybe that like you used a card and you picked it up because it had damage and put it into your hand,
put it back then, onto the,
yeah, and then the put board, it back. Yeah, that's what I did.
Back into it.
Yeah, that's basically what I did to win the game in TCG Live. And I'm like, dude, this card just saved me. And I'm like, I mean, if you don't have like, I guess multiple escape ropes, I mean, that's another way to take it out and then move a card from your bench to the active spot.
Yeah. So, and like when you look at the deck, so stall decks and like control decks like that get a bad rap. It's kind of like in Go, like the people that play like a Grasshold team or something similar to a Grasshold team. Like we all call it like a D-gen, you know, team, and it's just a tap, tap, whatever.
Yeah.
But when you talk to the players that actually play it a lot, they'll tell you it's, there's more to it. Like you have to know what to switch into. You have to know. If you start with something, like, you don't just let Bastiodon go and then switch to your next Pokemon and just keep tapping. Like, you actually have to strategize.
Yeah.
It's the same thing with the Snorlax deck. You've got, in your list, 9 Pokemon.
Yeah, didn't he, like, mulligan a couple times, too?
Yeah. So you're gonna mulligan. So you're giving your opponent extra cards, which is always a bad thing in any matchup. You don't want to give your opponent more cards. So he's only playing 9 Pokemon, 1 energy. And if you look at all of his Pokemon, Snorlax has 4 energy retreat costs.
Yeah.
So the next biggest one is Crabominable. That has 4, but everything else has 1. So, like, if you start something like a Mimikyu or something like that, you have, like, that 1 energy. And I'm looking, he plays 3 pennies to pick things up. Let's see. A 2 switch carts. And I think that's it for his switches.
He's got, for his personal stuff, but he's got like, he's running 4 counter catchers and 2 bosses.
Yeah. But like I'm saying, for his own like switching out, so like getting stuck with like sorry. The object of the deck is to get Snorlax in your active and get something locked in that they can't get out. So starting with something that's not Snorlax, like you have to figure out how to get in there. On top of that, Rotom V is your draw engine. Now, when you can draw 3 cards every turn, just by clicking, like or just by saying, you know, the ability, your deck goes pretty quick, you know. You're playing a lot of things. You're trying to play at least one type of hand disruption or some type of disruption card. Like you're playing a lot. And if you prize like something like that, he plays 1 copy of the Team Yell Cheer, which shuffles, it's shuffle up to 3 in any combination of Pokemon and supporter cards except Team Yell Cheer from your discard pile to your deck. And then the Silene is you flip 2 coins, put a number of cards up to the number of heads from your discard pile to your deck. So that's how he does that. That's how he got into that infinite loop. He got down to just Silene, Team Yell, and he just kept recycling.
In so, theory, he could potentially deck out by whiffing the coin flips.
He could, It just wouldn't put, he just wouldn't be able to put anything back in, and he would have to discard the Silene. But if the Team Yell was the last card in the pile, he could pick that up and put three more cards back in. And of course, you're going to put in Silene. You're going to put the Silene, you're going to put in some stuff to get back, get things back into your hand, like a pal pads and stuff like that. So there is strategy behind it. Like, I built the deck last night and played a couple games with it, and it's fun, but it's not just put Snorlax in and win. Like, you actually, you have to do stuff. Like, you play like cards to go, like you play the Misfortune Sisters, which looks at the top five cards of your opponent's deck, discard any number of item cards you find there. Your opponent shuffles their hand back into their deck, or shuffles the rest back into their deck. You play that card, you don't just grab the first five items you see, or like the first items you see. Like, you have to think, if I grab this item, does it actually affect the outcome of this game at all? Like, is that something they can use against me? So if you look at it and it's like battle VIP passes, you're not grabbing those battle VIP passes. You want your opponent to fill up their bench. You want them to put as many Pokemon out there as possible so you can just keep locking things in.
Mm-hmm.
So there's no purpose in doing that. And you could whiff. You could grab five cards and whiff. And then it's like you're out that one. And there's a lot. Like, I suggest, like, if it's like something that like interests you, to like build it and play with it, and you'll see it's not just like a meme deck. Like, it's a legit deck.
Like, is it, would you consider a very like technical like deck? Like it's like either you do really well, or you just like, it just like screws you over if you don't like pull the right cards
at the start. You don't play it right, you can get screwed over really quick.
So like it's like you got to know what you're doing.
You got to know how to play a stall deck in order to play it. Like, you can, it's not like, okay, I hate saying this because it's my boy, but it's not like Maridon, where any, like, that's your starter deck. Like, that's like, it's the deck you ask any TCG player, like, hey, I just got into TCG, what deck should I start with? Everyone's going to tell you Maridon. Because it's very linear, it's very straightforward. There's no, it is, put your Pokemon out, get energy, attack. Like, there's not like a whole bunch more to the deck than that.
What's a lot more harder to use for you at least, or maybe in Matthew if he wants to put input on this? But would it be like a Lost Zone, or the stall deck that you need more precision to use?
I think Lost Zone is the most technical deck in the format to play right now.
Okay.
I would say the stall deck is like right after. Everything else is a little bit more linear. Mew, you have to kind of like watch out for things. Like, it's a lot of resource management, because you fall into that trap of using Genesect too many times, and now you're like out of cards.
Yeah.
Like, you have to know when to use Genesect and when not to use it, and like those kind of things. But I mean, every deck, like Rapid Strike with the Inteleon, like that deck has like some thought to it, because you have to like discard energy and you have to lay damage in certain spots so that when you use Urshifu and you G-Max Rapid Flow and to drop like the damage, you have to discard your energy from the Pokemon, so you end up with no energy. So it's like you have to like make sure you're knocking things out when you're doing that, because all of your Pokemon except for Octillery are three prizes.
Yeah.
So, like, you know, there's stuff like that. Every deck has, like a thing you have to kind of watch out for. Maridon is a lot more linear, which is why I think it's probably the most fun deck to play next to like the Turbo Roaring Moon that I've been playing. Because it's literally just a dark version of Maridon that can just knock things out. Like with one, it doesn't matter what it is, it can knock it out. But it's just fun. Like it's fun. It's fast. Boom, boom, boom. But it's cool. This was a great tournament because like everyone is just like right now saying like this is the healthiest, and I can't say anything because I don't know, because you know I just started, that this is like the healthiest the meta has been in a while.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f-. So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Hey, it's Danny Pellegrino from Everything Iconic. Ready to upgrade your style game without blowing your budget? Check out Quince. They've got all the good stuff, shirts and polos, activewear and fine leather goods, all at 50 to 80% less than other high-end brands. And the best part? They're all about safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get that luxury vibe without the luxury price tag. Hit up quince.com/upgrade for free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. That's quince.com/upgrade.
Imagine the softest sheets you've ever felt. Now imagine them getting even softer over time. That's what you'll feel with Boll & Branch's organic cotton sheets. In a recent customer survey, 96% replied that Boll & Branch sheets get softer with every wash. So start getting your best night's sleep in sheets that get softer and softer for years to come. And you can try their sheets with a 30-night guarantee, plus 15% off your first order with code BUTTERY. So head to bollandbranch.com today. Exclusions apply. See site for details.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Did you know cats tend to hide symptoms of sickness and pain? I learned this the hard way after losing my cat, Gingy. So I created Pretty Litter, a health monitoring litter that helps detect early signs of illness by changing colors, saving you money and potentially your cat's life. Pretty Litter is veterinarian developed, and it's the easiest way to keep tabs on your fur baby's health right at home.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
I was hearing like a couple years ago, it was just dominated by like Mewtwo.
It was like, if you like watch some like streams from like, I'm trying to think who did it. They went back like 10 years in Pokemon and were like showing like the cards that were like popular and played. Uh-huh. And literally like they pulled up like a regionals list and it was just Mewtwo, 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 yeah. Mewtwo, Mewtwo, yeah. Mewtwo. And I was like, that seems like it sucks. Like yeah. That looks like it sucks. But even when Lugia dropped, like you'll hear people talk about like the LAIC that was 2 years ago when Lugia V-Star came out, and it was just completely dominated by Lugia. And Lugia and Mew dominated the meta for a very long time.
So now that you know, a couple of expansions have come out, there's a lot more like variety that's yeah. viable to compete.
Yes. Yeah. You have more options. You know, you still have Lost Zone that's still like up there. You still have Gardevoir, you know, things like that. But almost every deck now has like a counter. So it's not like so like, oh, well, I'm just picking Lugia because nothing can beat it. So it's just a matter of if I draw my prize cards faster than my opponent.
Yeah.
You know, like to me, that's not fun. Like, that's not a fun game to play. Like, oh, I bricked, so I lose this whole round. But, go ahead.
Yeah, I was gonna say I do see what you're saying. Like, even though I haven't been around, like, even as much as you, in terms of like TCG, I could tell just based on like seeing the stuff. Because like, how many times? I think there was a few times maybe someone mentioned that the Mew deck is dead because of Charizard, but sure enough, it's 25%, I think, like, yeah, overall.
Mew comes back. The thing is the players that play certain decks play that deck until it rotates out. Like, the guy who won Worlds last year plays nothing but Mew. He played one tournament with a different deck, lost, like, real bad, and went right back to Mew. He's still playing Mew.
I don't know if I could do that, dude. Like, I got bored of Charizard, not because, like, I was doing, like, good or bad, but just, like, I like variety. Like, I like switching things up.
Yeah.
I feel like it's kind of like with Pokemon Go as a few, like, quick example, where, like, I get bored of, like, the OG team or, like, a team that's even working for you. Like, you just want to try something different. And then you end up going back. I mean, this actually, I feel like I'm going to call this. I mean, I feel like Matthew's going to go back to Charizard and enjoy it like he did before, because like, that's what I did before with other stuff. I'm like, I got bored. Let me like kind of go to this, and it refreshes your like desire to use the other team again.
Yeah. I'm almost like done building like the two decks. Like, I have the Maridon, which I'm using, but I like borrowed cards from the Zard deck, so now I'm like trying to get those cards back so that I have like the two full decks. But just like looking through like the Zard deck, because I was showing like my buddy on Monday, and I'm just getting excited like explaining how the deck works and everything. And it just like brings back like the memories and everything with it. So just take like a healthy break, practice with something new, and you could always like bounce back. I'm really enjoying like that aspect of this game.
That to me, I think is what, and if you notice, like, I've noticed something like over the past couple of months, a lot more Go players have started dipping their toes into TCG, because I feel like not so like outside of the like game being broken, the meta is so stagnant. Like, I don't know with like these move updates if it's gonna like completely change anything, but for like the past 2 years, the meta has been pretty much stagnant.
Like, there's like not very similar top 12 every time. Yeah,
there's not like a huge like fluctuation. And you can't, unless you're like, I don't know, like, what is it? It's Axion?
It's Axion, yeah.
Yeah. Like, or someone like that who could probably pick up any team and win with. Like, it's very hard to be like, oh, I just want to run Pokemon I like and be successful in Go. Whereas in TCG, you could run a deck that you just really like and you could do pretty well in it. You know, depending on how good of a player you are. But there's just more variety to it. Like, I was, Mrs. Astro started playing with, started, for my birthday, I said the only thing I want for my birthday was for her to play a couple games with me.
Okay.
So she honored it, you know, as much as she didn't want to, but I gave her Maridon, and I was playing Roaring Moon, and like just walking her through everything, like the first couple games we played open hand, like so that I could explain to her the cards, explain, you know, I tell her to make the move and then say, okay, well, why did you make that move? Like, you know, kind of like walking her through. After game two, she was like, okay, I'm doing this on my own. Two nights later, she was like, are we going to play?
Oh, snap.
So, like, and then she's like, oh, there's a mobile app for this? And I'm like, yeah, you can do... Does it have the deck that I was playing? I said, yeah, it has a similar deck, but, you know, we could build that deck on the game. And that's the thing, like, it has... It's so much more than just playing cards. Like, I feel like this encompasses so much more of what Pokemon is about than the other games. Like, the VGC stuff seems very, like, cutthroat to me. Like, there's no reactions, like...
as a person that I'm doing all three, I feel like I actually talked to... Who was it? I think it was Sherwood and Blind Craziness in regards to this. I think I find the most enjoyment in regards to all three, in regard like playing TCG. And the reason is also because it's, and you guys can have your opinion on it, but I think it's the easiest to learn as well, in my opinion.
Oh, it's definitely a lot easier. It's the easiest to pick up the rules.
Exactly.
And know how to play a game. Doesn't mean you're going to be good, but you'll know how to play the game.
I think, yeah, because I like I said, I started doing VGC and like that was a lot of information to take in. But like once you understand, because like a lot of the decks run the same supporters for the most part, right? Like Arvin, you know, you got the battle VIP pass, you know, things like that. So like I feel like it's a little bit more, it's good for the game because it's more welcoming. And that's how I see it, at least. I mean, just because it's easier, it doesn't mean like, you know, I mean, obviously, it's the one that pays the most also in the region, though, so you got that. I'm like, it's not the reason why I'm playing right now. but yeah, it's crazy. Like, you see, like, a, I mean, I'm not, like you said, stall deck. You hear a stall deck, you think in Pokemon Go, you're like, oh, you're a troll. But in here, it's actually, like, not that easy. I think, like, it's easier to use, like a grass hole team in Go versus, like, a stall deck. That looks complicated for me to, like, want to learn. Like, you miss a step and that's it.
Yeah. It's also TCG is a lot more accessible than the other three game, the other two games. Yeah,
exactly.
Because you can literally say, oh, I like Charizard. I'm going to build this Charizard deck. You print out the deck list. You go to TCGplayer.com and, you know, for like $50, you have your deck. Maybe a little more now. It's probably like 80.
Like an actual deck?
Well, like if you just bought the basic cards, like not like getting full arts or anything like that.
Yeah,
dude, that's maybe a problem right now. It
so is. That's why I'm like like trying to slow down in regards to like building decks. I'm like, now I like you guys saw me like during Black Friday, I bought the Maridon deck.
Yep.
The what is it called?
The box.
The battle deck. Yeah, the battle deck. And I'm like, fuck. I mean, this kind of like encourages, and like it's awesome that they have that because like it's actually a pretty good deck compared to other decks that are actually out there and people don't know it's not actually good. And I think like us, like I think us like kind of getting into it, like Matthew getting into it, me myself like getting into TCG and like seeing how easy and like it could be for other people to join. And that's why like when you mentioned like some people in Go are like dipping their toes into, you know, even VGC as well, but more like TCG. I've definitely seen more in that just because it's easier, more welcoming, and I think it's fun. Like,
yeah,
it was when I played you in person, even though like I was nervous as fuck, and it's just you because it's in person, it's like a completely like different vibe.
Completely different vibe.
I'm like, bro, like this guy is in front of me. Like, what if I want to punch him because I got pissed?
dude, shuffling that deck at first is so hard.
Like, it's so hard, and dude, you get like, I remember the first time, like I was like getting, like I was getting sweaty, like like shuffling the deck, and I'm like shaking, my hands are shaking, and I'm dropping cards, and I'm just like. And luckily, like the guy I played against, like he was just cool. Like my first like in person thing was just like, it's all right, dude. Just relax. Like he's like, pick up the cards. You know, this is just, you know, a friendly game. Like we're not whatever. And then he was like, but learn how to shuffle properly if you're going to try and play in a tournament.
Yeah.
At least he was like honest about it.
Yeah.
Like,
What's the trick for you? Like, for me, it's like trying to be as loose as possible with everything. Because I remember at first, like, I'm like, I broke my sleeves just trying to like jam them together.
So I just hold them. I put like my index finger in the middle.
Oh, you riffle shuffle.
I riffle shuffle, but long ways.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And not like this. Like, yeah, you can't see because like this sideways, is a podcast. Yeah. And then I riffle shuffle just the corners. And then bring it in like that. Okay. Like, I can't do that whole bridge thing where like they go.
Yeah, because I'm doing like the overhand.
And then I'll do situation. That. Yeah. I'll do both. Yeah. I'll do a couple of that, then I'll do a couple of these, and then, you know, the whatever, the pile. I just don't pile shuffle.
Do you guys shuffle the cards when you're like actually have cards in your hand and you're playing? Like when you pick up your 7 cards, right?
Oh, I'm constantly moving them around.
Like, you know, do you do like little like shuffling like while you're like?
Yeah,
well, I've like, seen the people do it. Like,
this is what you'll hear from me. Oh, wait, hold on. Because I'm just, because I can't do that thing where they, like, flip through the cards real fast. Yeah. Like that.
Yeah, that's what I'm talking about. I can't do that.
I can't.
I used to do that with Yu-Gi-Oh.
So this is the,
like, I'm like,
the Matthew Breaker tip for this. Because I used to play, like, poker, like Texas Hold'em. Like, I paid for, like, part of my college tuition playing poker.
That's crazy.
I love it. When people are like messing with their cards in their hand, because it's such a tell if they have something good or not.
Oh yeah.
So like I'm just like, yeah, no, fidget away, my friend. Like when you see my cards, they're just still in their hand. Like
I'll like fan them out, like just to double check to see what I got. And then I'll put them back together and I'll just.
Yeah. Like I'm like thinking in my head, like, you know, the daydream, like you're at a regional, you make it up on stage. And then I'm just picturing like the camera guy, like, and the announcer's like, we don't know what's in his hand because it's just all like, I already know what's in it. Like,
it's just down. Yeah. But, yeah, it's fun. But so back to kind of what I was saying with like the whole Poland and then Brisbane thing. So with the stall deck winning, expect to see a lot more stall. So the first thing everyone has been asking every streamer everywhere. And literally like I think it was maybe like 20 minutes after the dude won, Justin Basil posted like a thing with a card. So there was a card, was it last weekend?
The event was this past weekend.
No, when you, it was last, this past weekend, the weekend before.
Oh, when I posted it?
When you sent us like, hey, I'm deciding or whatever, you sent me a card. Uh-huh. Like you sent a picture of a card, a new card. And we all just kind of like, I know I was just like, nah, like that's not good. Like, That's a bad card.
A lot nicer about it. So.
Yeah. I was like, I think you could find room for something else. Yeah,
you're like, so tell me, like, what's your thought process behind this? And then, like, what, in the back of your mind, you're like, this dumbass.
What the fuck so is he thinking there's about? There's a card. Well, since you discovered it, I'm gonna give you credit and say you discovered it before anyone else. Because you had it in your deck 2 weeks before or a week before this event.
Yeah. So the reason why I even was looking for it is because at my local, there was already somebody playing a Snorlax stall and I lost to it. So I was like, okay, well, if he's going to be a regular here, like I need something like playing Zard that could at least help with this. That's not going to be a multi-prizer knockout.
Yeah.
I'm just like looking through my like limited cards and I came across like Minier, the fighter. I'm trying to pull it up here.
I've got it.
But it seemed to like to be pretty interesting.
Yeah.
At least it didn't, it required like one colorless energy. And it's able to deal damage based on the amount of like how much their retreat cost is.
I got it pulled up here so you don't have to go
through. Oh, okay. Yeah. Okay.
So Minior is a fighting type Pokemon, basic Pokemon from the Paradox Rift set. So the new ones. It has 70 HP and its ability is called Far Flying Meteor. It says once during your turn, if this Pokemon is on your bench, when you attach an energy from your hand to this Pokemon, you may switch it with your active Pokemon. So it's got a built-in switch.
Mm-hmm.
That, because it's an ability, has no effect with the Snorlax. And then its attack is Gravitational Tackle for one colorless energy. It's 20 times. So this attack does 20 damage for each colorless, like the retreat, each retreat cost in your opponent's active, for your opponent's active Pokemon's retreat cost. So like the energy per thing. Do you remember what I said Snorlax was?
It was 4.
It was 4. Snorlax is a normal type Pokemon.
Which is weak to fighting.
Which is weak to fighting.
Uh-huh.
So you put one of those, it does 20, so already you're doing 80. And then you double that, it's doing 160, which I believe knocks out the Snorlax.
Yeah, if they don't have like a bravery charm on it.
Yeah, it's 100, it's 150 unless they have the bravery charm. But even if it is, you get a second, you just do it again. And if they knock it out, just, they can't knock it out. Because they don't have any fight, they don't have anything to knock it out.
Yeah.
So if they boss up something else, you just slap another energy on it to bring it right back up. So essentially, you put it in your Charizard deck. You have, if you don't prize any of your energy, you would have 8 switches. They only play 4 Snorlax.
That's crazy.
Yeah. So as of right now, besides just adding a bunch of like switch carts and switches and escape ropes to your deck, I expect San Antonio to have a lot of this card.
Interesting.
But what was crazy was the 2 Charizards that were in the top 3.
Mm-hmm.
In Brisbane, the one that came in 3rd had the Minior in his deck.
Did it?
Yep.
There we go. Thinking ahead.
Yep. Well, he's also from Japan, so Japan got the set like a few days before us. So, and they're always like teching things and whatever, like if you watch,
yeah, like they were doing the Toadscruel tech for the Chimpao
matchup on the, yeah, so like they know what's going on. So this dude had it in there and yeah, crushed it.
Hmm. I mean, so in this deck, because I see that the Snorlax was in 6 and 7. Maybe that same guy beat those stall decks because of that card. Or do you know who he faced? Like, I'm kind of curious if he did face a stall deck, because that'd be amazing. And we can confirm, like, Matthew called the meta before.
It doesn't look like Pokestats has has Brisbane up yet.
Nah.
So I can't see what his matchups were. So, but I'm assuming 2nd place, he had to have hits. Maybe. He could have avoided it the whole time. But if he did, he was ready for it. So,
mm-hmm.
Yep. So, yeah. Yes, for people who are building decks, expect to see Snorlax stall a lot more. So, find a copy of that Minior?
Minior.
Or if you're playing Lost Zone, like you're pretty safe with Lost Zone. Like you play enough switch cards and switches and stuff like that. It's more for like the decks like Charizard. I think Charizard, Chimpao only plays like a couple switches, things like that. Where you can't get out. Like if you prize your escape rope or your one, like this dude, one escape rope and they misfortune sisters and discards it, like that's it. Your game's done.
Scoop.
It's over. Scoop and go. It's not an unbeatable deck. Like it's not like something that's just gonna completely dominate everything.
Mm-hmm.
Like it has bad matchups. Like Maridon is not a good matchup for it. The fact that dude beat so many Maridons means they probably wasn't playing great Maridon players, but Maridon has a pretty decent matchup against it. Mew has a really good matchup against it because Mew again plays a lot of switch cards. Mew also has the Fusion Strike energy, which I believe, if I remember correctly, the Fusion Strike energy stops that ability from affecting Mew. Let me just check. Before I tell people the wrong information.
How does Mew get around the Mimikyu?
Fusion Strike energy.
Oh, okay. I'm not familiar necessarily with Fusion Strike energy.
Okay.
This card can only be attached to a Fusion Strike Pokemon. As long as this card is attached, it provides every type of energy. Prevents all effects from your opponent's
Pokemon's ability done to the Pokemon this card is attached to.
Okay.
So get something stuck in there, attach a Fusion Strike energy onto it, boom. Shuts off the thing. And then you can switch, and then Mew just drops damage like crazy everywhere, like on the actives. And since it can't get knocked out,
right?
You don't have to worry about losing your, and Mew also has, so if you get your Mew VMAX in play and you have a Mew on your bench, Mew has an attack called Psychic Leap. And Psychic Leap does 70 damage, and you can shuffle the card and all attached cards back into your deck.
So if you're like worried about decking out, you can,
or getting stuck or whatever, like you could just Psychic Leap and get out of it. So and
the VMAX ability is just one-shotting everything on.
Yeah, because the VMAX is the cross fusion strike. That's the one you use the most. You could choose one of your bench fusion strike Pokemon's attacks and use it as this attack. So you have, essentially when you play Mew, you want to keep on your bench, you want to have three. If you're playing Fusion Mew, you want to have three Genesect, one Mew, and then one Meloetta. Your other Mew, which is an active and you're switching back and forth, that's the one you evolve into the VMAX. But you want to try and always keep one Mew not evolved until you absolutely need to evolve it so that you can always Psychic Leap out of a bad situation.
Hmm.
Listen, Mew is a really fun deck to play. if you go, if you, you can't, I think it, they sold out of the code cards on the one place that I get to, because I was going to try and get it for the kids, because I figured like that's a good deck, like that's a fun deck for everyone. You can literally go on Amazon right now and buy not the like exact Mew VMAX deck that you would play, but pretty much everything that you need for it on Amazon in the battle deck for like $26.
Jeez.
Wow.
And it is a legit competitive deck. Like, if you want to go to a local and play Mew VMAX, like, you can. Regionals, yeah, it's kind of a little harder because a regionals meta is a lot different than a locals meta. Like, I know my locals meta, you don't want to bring Mew VMAX because everybody plays Charizard.
Oh, really?
It's like, it's either Charizard or Lost Box. That's why I did so well with Roaring Moon, because I just hit the Gardevoirs and the Charizards, and those are easy matchups for Roaring Moon. Lost Box is a little rougher. So knowing your local meta is very important for like your regionals. Like you were saying, like you teched for that stall deck because you knew that guy's playing stall deck and he comes all the time. So he's going to always have it. So you're going to get matched up against him at some point, you know, so having a, you know, those things, but that doesn't necessarily mean that that translates when you go into a regional, because a regional meta is completely different. It's just like a Go Battle League meta is different than, you know, the regional Pokemon, you know, play meta. It's kind of the same thing, but it's still, it's a lot more similar.
When is, the next transition for phasing out cards?
Rotation?
The next rotation.
Let's hope, Matthew, that rotation is after Knoxville, because I don't think we get another set until February.
Wait, aren't we getting... Well, I guess... The other set's coming in January. I don't think it's...
It's just anything. The shiny...
The Paldean Fates is just shiny reprints.
Yeah. Oh, okay, so it's nothing crazy.
I don't think we get the next one until February.
Okay.
And that's when I think they'll rotate. And we need to hope, as Maridon players, that there's a reprint of Flaffy.
Yeah, because the Dynamotor is key.
Flaffy rotates out because it's an E block.
What the what block is going to be the next one? Do you know?
So like, they wrote they just this last rotation they rotated out D. So
okay, so it's just an order
right now. E and up are eligible. So everything that's getting printed now is I think like G, F, and G. So your next rotation, the E block will get rotated out. So and then they'll be able to use F, G, and then I guess H or whatever.
Yeah.
You know, that's how they do it to keep the meta good. Fresh. But what I learned was Dynamotor has been on other Pokemon. Wait, like that ability has been around just on different Pokemon. I think it was on
I think it said electric.
Electric. It was electric that had it before.
Yeah.
And then I think Embor. It's Pignite, whatever the middle one is. I think that one had a Dynamotor or a version of Dynamotor for fire.
Let me look this up.
I think, if I remember correctly.
But yeah, I know Inferno Fandango.
Yeah.
It is just, but it's the stage 2 instead of the stage 1.
Yeah. Yeah. So I think they'll do, if they don't do a reprint of Flaffy, there'll be another electric type.
Like to take over?
The take over. Because, I mean, Maridon is such a... It's like... I mean, Maridon and Coridon are the faces of Scarlet and Violet. So, like, why would you want to phase that deck out? With just because literally that deck has a very hard time. Try and play it without Flaffy. It's not as fun.
Well, I know for a fact I'm playing it wrong because I'm having a hard time keeping Flaffies on the bench. So.
Everybody goes for Flaffy first.
Yep. Yeah.
It's the engine.
I need some coaching, buddy.
Maridon is so... It's fun. It's so much fun.
I thoroughly enjoy it. I feel it's got a lot of flexibility in it.
Yeah.
Like, I played with it on TCG Live against a Snorlax stall. And, like, with my Charizard deck, it was, like, really, really hard to deal with. But with Maridon, I felt like I had a lot of maneuverability with it. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, you definitely have more. Plus, with the fact that you have Electric Generator, you have 14 energy in your deck, and most of your Pokemon, except for Iron Hands, only use 2 to 3 energy. So attaching by hand to your active is not a problem.
Right.
Like, everything in your deck, you can use to attack. You don't play... anything like a Manaphy or a Greninja or something that you can't get out. Like, you can't even use the attack because you don't run that type of energy.
Right.
Like, Mew is the only thing that's not electric, and Squawkabilly, but they're both colorless energies.
Yeah.
So if you get stuck with a Squawkabilly, you could just motivate every single time. And motivates pulling energy from the discard pile and putting it onto your bench. So you're setting up your attackers. So when they switch out that one, you know, it's a good deck. It's a lot of fun. There's a reason it's won a regional and an IC. It's a good deck. It's no longer, what is it? They call it Mid-Ride-On.
Mid-Ride-On.
Yeah, so it was good. But I don't know. I think that's pretty much it.
I mean, are you guys looking forward to the new set coming out?
The shiny set?
Yeah, the Paldean Fates.
I was until this morning.
Oh, you weren't until this morning?
Yeah, I was until this morning. I was like psyched about it until this morning.
I'm sorry,
when
buddy.
He just burst in my bubble.
Oh, because he showed him?
Part of my birthday gift was I got 3 gold Maridons, the hyper rare, secret rare, whatever. Yeah. So I was like, yes, awesome. Like, they came in the mail. I took a picture. I showed the guys. And I wake up this morning... And I look and I see a message from Matthew that just said, did you see the new gold holo foil Maridons? And I just locked my phone.
He said, not today.
I said, no. No. Why?
Why?
I saw those and I was like, the thing about it is, like, I just from like a printing perspective, I'm really curious how it's going to look, but I'm thinking about it from like a play perspective, and I'm like, well, how raised is raised?
Because it's gonna be like the VMAXs.
You think?
Yeah, I mean, it can't be that raised. It'll feel weird in the maybe like. Do you have one of the? Did you get the UPC the Mew box? Yes.
I have a different one. It's textured like,
yeah,
foil
the metal card.
Yeah.
Like, if you feel it, I think that's what it's gonna feel like.
Okay.
But it'll be a lot flimsier, obviously, than a metal card.
I will say though, I think your Maridon look cooler because you have the color on it.
Yeah, I like the color. The greenish, like gray or whatever, is pretty sweet, but. I'm okay. Hopefully, maybe those will just be exclusive for Japan. Because Japan, so like there's, I realize like certain cards, Battle VIP Pass, that's like a, it is not, it's not a card that's printed in Japan. It's in like a special, it's like in a special set.
Really?
It's like, I think it's Battle VIP Pass that they were saying. There's like a couple cards that we get, like that we have, that we use in all of our decks that Japan doesn't have. Because they were in special like winner sets or something like that, and it's like $100 or $200 card.
Oh jeez,
it's like stupid expensive.
Wait, which card is that?
I think it's Battle VIP Pass.
Really?
Yeah.
Huh. I was gonna say, I'm kind of curious what that card would be. January 26th. I mean, we still got 2 months until the next set, so that's like a little good for my wallet.
give your finances a break,
dude. Maybe, I mean, after Black Friday. Yeah,
I wish I could remember if it was for sure. It's a card that we use a lot, and that's why I'm thinking it's Battle VIP Pass. But it didn't come in any of the sets for them. So it's really expensive.
Cool. Well, thank you everybody for listening to the TCG podcast for the week.
The BTW TCG podcast.
Yeah.
Sorry for everyone who listened to the show this week. I was like, I'm still like, you heard me cough a million times. If Matthew doesn't cut it out,
you may. Yeah.
I was dead. Like, I just couldn't. I couldn't do it. So. But since so many of our Discord members are now playing and we've gotten very good responses about how they like this part, decided not to, let it go. Yeah,
for sure. All right, everybody. Right. We'll see,
next week
in a few days.
Yeah.
Yeah. I was like, wait, yeah, a few days.
Planning for your next trip? Elevate your travel style with Quince. Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/trip for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Did you know cats tend to hide symptoms of sickness and pain? I learned this the hard way after losing my cat, Gingy. So I created Pretty Litter, a health monitoring litter that helps detect early signs of illness by changing colors, saving you money and potentially your cat's life. Pretty Litter is veterinarian developed, and it's the easiest way to keep tabs on your fur baby's health right at home.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Hey everyone, Craig Robinson here. I want you to check out the Ways to Win podcast, brought to you by Ford and the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. On Ways to Win, Coach Cal and I will discuss leadership lessons we've learned. We know all about the days spent perfecting your craft outside of the limelight and have knowledge to share about how strength, inspiration, encouragement, and adaptability are the key ingredients to drive toward your dreams. And those same ingredients can be found in the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. So check out my podcast, Ways to Win, and also check out the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. Learn more at Ford.com. Built Ford tough, built Ford proud.